You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a
primitive manufactured.
The hands were freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives.
A movie.
Right now.
At
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm going around the chair doing the Bigfoot boogie as I do each and every week, man. I'm looking forward to this. This stuff is so off the hook, I can't control myself, Marco. What do you think it is?
I don't know what it is. It must be all the excitement going on around this United States and Canada. Too much.
Bet it's too much. My God, I can't believe what's going on. People popping pictures all over the place of these things and all the excitement about Cyber Sizzle. Oh, my God, we're going to get into that a little bit, too. In between of all these guests that you've got us each and every week, it's off the hook, my man. I can't stand it any longer. Wow, I'll tell you right up. You know what, Marco, do you mind if I give a few shout-outs?
You just go right ahead, Tom. We need to recognize our friends and family.
Ooh, I like that. Wait a minute, I got to give that a little toot myself. I like it, man. That's off the hook. Damn. Oh, you know what? Let's say hello to our friends out there in the chat room. Connie Gilbert, where have you been? Number one, haven't heard from you in a long time. Hope you're okay, darling. Need to speak with you ASAP. After the show, write me, call me, do something. Send up some smoke signals or whatever. Over there, Crypto Corner, Dave-O, JC, John, Darren. Hey, you guys, a little toot for my boys out there. Good people out there, you know. I like them people. You have no idea. Java Bob, hey, what can I say about my right-hand man? And Frenchie Neal, hey, Rich567. Tallahassee, you're new to us. And I saw it earlier. Nobody answered your question, but I'm going to do it for you right now, my man, or gal, or whatever you are, whatever you might be. The music, Matt, that was right before the show, and then we come on. You're exactly right. You keep it up. My gentle giant, how you doing, my man? And guest number 44, 773, good evening to you. And Mr. Bill Green out there in Connecticut, how are you, my man? How's things going? How's the weather? Are you surviving? I guess so, because you're with us tonight. Off the hook to all my guys. A little toot for my boys out there and my gang out there in the chat room. Now, let's get out to our shout-outs. Wow. Bill Grichenko. He's from North Smithfield, Rhode Island. What's our DVD, Bigfoot Lives. Thank you, Billy. And Rick Kelly. Man, what more can I say about my buddy Rick Kelly in Indiana? He not only bought four hats, he thinks he's got six of them. And they just love our hats out there. Thank you so much, Rick. Wait a minute, I'm going to give Rick a little toot. That's for you, good buddy. Talk to him on the phone today. He's a good, good old guy. Jason and Bobby, Strange Frequencies Radio. Well, I'll think about it. And if I get my other crew, they'll come out there and they'll be on your show. Been awful busy, Jason and Bobby. AP from Arizona. Man, you're the man, Tommy. You're the man. We're going to get him on the show next week. Remember that name, AP from Arizona. Dan Gore, Lake Tahoe, man. Thanks for them kind words up there. Are you frozen in yet? Or are you going to be getting thawed out? Fred Garanoff from Idaho. He wants to be a volunteer. Well, listen, send us a resume and send it over there to in care of Java Bob, and he'll check you out and see which way we're going to go there, Fred. Todd Welch, Sartell, Minnesota, wants our help. You've got our help. Whenever we're in your area, just call upon us. Or if any simple stuff that we can get done over on a phone or email, we'd be more than happy to help you, Todd. Steve Miller, Ontario, Canada. Heard a lot of vocalizations out in that area. Wants to know if we can come out and check them out. When we're up there, Steve, we're going to give you the call first. David Houston out there in Texas. Okay, buddy, you got a deal, and you know what I'm talking about. Steve Bass likes our Bigfoot research and thinks we're doing a hell of a job. Well, thank you, Steve. Tom Galansky, you told me, you guys have heard me talk about him out there in Pennsylvania. He's our resident gumshoe. Tommy, thanks for the kind words, and thanks for all your help. Brent Funkhauser, nice theory on the capture out there, Brent. I read the whole story. We've used that before. Didn't work. Chuck Creel and my buddy Greg Worthington down there in Alabama and Georgia, man. They've got a new website. Hey, you got to see what they got going on down there. Unbelievable. These boys are taking care of business. They're TCBing. And those of you who know my full name, just take my initials and change them around. It means TCB. Roger Peterson. Hey, man, there she blows. It was comical as hell. He sent me out an email, ladies and gentlemen. You got to see this thing. You'll laugh for about a week to Sunday. Ed Berryman from England. Hey, he wrote a song called Yeti Saves the Day. Ed, I sent you back on your email. Send it over to us. We'll play it on the air. But you got to lower that music, son, because too much music, you can't hear the lyrics, and the lyrics are beautiful. Justin Schmidt from Needles, California, wants help and had an encounter down that way. We're on our way, Justin. Just have some patience. To my little girl in Modesto, Shannon, I love you, sweetheart. You are probably one of the best things that the big guy in the sky sent to me in a long time. Wait a minute. Little special toot for my girl in Modesto. Thing. Bo in Tennessee. Hey, 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 girl. You know what that means. John from Indiana. Now, you watch your P's and Q's there, young man. John calls me up, and he gets a little flustered. He doesn't know the difference between a Bigfoot and a woman. But that's all right, John. You just stay tuned with us here, and we'll straighten you out one way or the other. To all my people out there in the Bigfoot land, here, there, and everywhere, kudos and salutations. Well, I feel good about that. That was a mouthful. Now, look here, Marco. I'm going to go over. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me talk about this cyber sizzle stuff. I mean, the reports are coming back rampant. It's going wild. It's off the hook. I got people from all over the country calling me and telling me the success stories of the samples that have been sent out. They're getting anywhere from 3 to 11 miles more per gallon. Their car's got more pep in their step, as you say, or metal to the pedal. And I'll tell you what, it's cleaning out the engines. It's the emissions have been off the hook, and it's cleaning out the gas tanks. It's unbelievable. But here are the prospective area distributors for Cyber Sizzle right now: Rebecca Butello in Washington, Alex Ahern in Arizona, Chuck Creel, Alabama, Greg Worthington, Georgia, Bobby McIntosh, Tennessee, Jim Snell, New Hampshire, Leroy Blevins, Ohio, Steve Dismore, Kentucky, Bruce Schilt, Montana, Stacy Freitas, Wisconsin, Bill Lett, Indiana, Tom Galansky, Pennsylvania, David Houston, Texas, Evan Perdone, Connecticut, J.C. Johnson, New Mexico, and that includes all the boys that we talked to up there in crypto. Father Ray in New Mexico, just got through talking to him. He's such an inspiration to me and all of our people here in the Bigfoot world. Lee Joyner in Texas, Wander Childers in North Carolina, Roger Peterson in Arizona, L.R. Werner in Nevada, Jan Terry in California, Mike Olivetti, California, Bill Marlette in California, George Abbott in California, Rona Feingold in California, Steve Cothran in California, Richard Beale in California, Richard Fletcher and his lovely wife Rosemary in California, Gloria Torres in California, Charles Zanowski, California, Chris Girado, California, Jan DeCarli in California. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? These people want to become area distributors. They'll be in business for themselves, and where else can you become independently wealthy but next to nothing? That's right, and you're saving the world. You're saving the environment, and we're helping ourselves. This is totally off the hook to all of our prospective area distributors. By the way, Dave and Dan Nelson is going to be partnering up with us. Thank you guys so much. Well, let's see what we got here on the drawing board. Marco, how do I keep up with you? It's not easy, let me tell you. This guy keeps me huffing one day or another. Oh, we got some great guests here tonight. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we can't wait any longer. I got to tell you, I got this call from these fine people up in Montana, outside of Butte. They had an encounter that's going to knock your socks off. It wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. They had a family pod come down on them. But without any further ado, let's get out there to Butte, Montana. Mike, you out there?
You're on, Mike.
How are you this evening, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
Can't you tell in my tone of my voice?
Yeah, man.
I'm up for it, my man. I'm up for it. Now, look here. What's the weather like up there in Montana?
Oh, it's it's been cold. Looks like it might get a little bit of snow tonight, but who knows?
Tell everybody the temperature out there about now.
I'd say it's probably in the mid-20s, low 20s.
Well, hell, that's bathing suit weather, son.
Yeah.
All right, look here. Mike, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell Mike, you're going to have the floor here in a second. I want you to tell all my listeners, because they're all waiting with bated breath, tell them exactly what happened from beginning to the end. You've got the stage, young man.
All right. Well, we had moved from Washington State over here to Montana, and we were looking for places to live and stuff, so we decided to go camping. Well, we went to this place north of just a little town west of here called Rocker, and we went north of there to a place known to the locals as Three Chimneys. We went there, and this was about mid-July of last year, and we were out there camping. It was me, my girlfriend, and her two teenagers. We went out there, and it was about the third night that, I'd say it's probably about 2:30, 3 a.m. in the morning, and I started to hear some noise just outside the backside of our tent. Well, backside of our tent faced a little creek, and there was a little triangular window on the backside of the tent When I heard this noise, I looked out. Well, I didn't see anything at first, and so I waited and kept looking out there, and about a couple minutes went by, and all of a sudden I seen these eyes glowing from the, I guess the moonlight was shining on these eyes, and I seen these eyes glowing, and I started kind of freaking out a little bit, you know, because I didn't know what it was, and sitting there watching these things, I kind of got dizzy, and then all of a sudden I passed out. I don't know from what, but it just, I passed out and woke up the next morning, sitting there looking around the campsite for what was going on. Well, then, I think it was like either a night or two nights after that, I was standing by the car we had at the time talking to the teenagers because they were watching a movie in the car. And I looked over our tent, kind of a northwestern direction, and I seen these things walking down the hill. And I instantly knew it was Bigfoot. So, and then I watched these things walk down the hill for a little bit, and then I turned to my, would have been my left, kind of towards the south, and I seen this one, this big one, standing like 15 feet from me, and he was acting like he was a guard or a sentry watching over just a few more that were just beyond him, like they were hunched down in the grass, like they were picking something out of the grass and eating it. So I first I didn't believe what I was seeing. So I stood there and I watched it even longer, and then just something told me to look around the campsite more, and there was more of these things standing around them. The tall ones with the dark, short hair were standing like they were guarding these other ones that had long, grayish hair. And you know, like I said, there must have been anywhere from 15 to 20 of these things in and around our campsite. And I sat there and I watched these things for a while. And I slowly walked towards the tent, you know, mine and my girlfriend's tent. And this one that I had that was standing 15 feet from me, it slowly turned and watched me walk to the tent. Well, as soon as I got in the tent, I'm sitting there in the doorway, you know, looking at this thing, sitting on the, you know, inside the tent, and we weren't making a sound or anything in the tent, and this thing looked my direction again, as, you know, just like in a really curious way, like, you know, wondering what I was and stuff. And I kind of got freaked out, so I zipped the door of the tent up, and I'm sitting there telling my girlfriend, you know, what was going on outside, and she, the whole time, she was telling me not to worry because they weren't going to harm us, you know, because she has a sense about these things, and I believed her. So this went on for about, I don't know, a week and a half, you know, and...
Mike, wait a minute, because probably there's a bunch of my listeners out there thinking right now, man, either this guy has had the encounters before, or he's taken this so nonchalantly. Let me tell you something, dude. If you know, I'll never forget my first encounter. I was so excited. I was worried about peeing my pants, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say to you, I mean, I noticed you probably said this story probably a dozen times, and it's come easy to you. But the thing I'm having a problem with is, my God, when you see one, it's an incredible thing. But now you're seeing a family pod of not just a family pod of 3 to 5 to 8, but now you're talking about in the teens, man. This is some incredible stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, how could you just go in your tent and just, you know, well, we're going to go to sleep now. We just saw a bunch of Bigfoot. I mean, didn't you get hyped? Didn't you get stoked? I mean, think about it.
I was stoked. I mean, at the same time, my brain was just trying to process this because ever since I was a kid, I believed in these things. And I've always wanted to see one, and I'm just sitting there trying to get my brain to process what was going on in our campsite out in the middle of the woods of Montana here. And I just, I don't know. I was just really stopped. I mean, I was super stoked. Yet I was kind of, I don't know, I guess there was a little bit of fear in me because I didn't know what to expect from these things because I've heard stories about how they're, some of them are violent and stuff, but, I mean, I was just sitting there just trying to process all this whole stuff, you know?
Well, now you're talking, Michael. Now, when it went through one part of your brain and it exited through the other, what did you actually do? Did you go call the cops? Did you call the game warden? Did you go back in the town to get a gun? Or did you call? What did you do? Just tell us all.
We didn't do anything. I mean, we just sat there and let them do their thing the whole time we were there for the week and a half. I mean, because they never once bugged us in any way, except for the adolescent, this one that was an adolescent. But there was really nothing that we could do. We were low on money. We couldn't have to go back into town and come back out to the campsite. So we just let them be, and they left us alone, except for that adolescent one that was trying his darndest to get into my girlfriend's tent almost every night that we were there.
Now, you guys were there for approximately 10 days, correct? Michael, you there?
Yeah.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
You guys were there about 10 days, correct?
Yeah.
So my question is, I mean, did you try to get a camera, you know, take a picture?
No.
To communicate with these things? What? Anything?
No, I mean, we didn't have a camera, and, you know, like I said, money was tight, and we were just barely trying to survive ourselves, you know, and we really couldn't do anything about it. So it was hard.
What time of year was this? This was last year sometime?
Beginning of July.
That was beginning of July last year.
Oh, that's your gal. How are you, dear?
I'm doing good.
Good, 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 good. Listen, since then, have you guys come across any more of these things?
Oh, because we live inside of Butte now, and this, where we were at, is just about 10 miles from here, and we don't have a vehicle to get back out there, because I want to go back out there, man.
All right, so here's the big question. If I schedule you on our next expedition, which is going to be next month sometime, are you guys ready to go out?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely.
Well, you know what? It'll be an honor to be with you guys. And, you know, I got one word to say to you guys. Actually, it's more than one. It's welcome to the world of Sasquatch, believe me.
I mean, my girlfriend and I, you know, we want to be a part of this. I mean, we want to check this stuff out. And I don't know, man. I want to look for it, and I want to get physical evidence.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've had more physical evidence than I have in all these years that I've been doing this. I've had six encounters, visuals anyway, and up close and personal on a few, but never, ever, you know, in the teens that you guys have seen, you guys have been blessed. You got to see something that nobody, I don't think, has ever seen in this business. But I'll tell you what, I'm willing to take the gamble to come up there and join you guys and go out there and see what we can find. How's that?
Well, that's great. Cool.
Listen, God bless you guys. Thanks so much for being with us. Just mute yourself out. We got plenty more show. Listen to some more of the other interesting stuff coming up. And thanks one more time for being with us, okay?
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
God bless you guys. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, what a story. Pretty incredible stuff. Man, that was more than a family pod. That could have been a village of these things. Who the hell knows? That's unbelievable. I can't wait to get out there. Wow, Marco, pretty incredible stuff, huh?
Oh, man, I tell you, when I was talking to Mike, my funny bone was funny. I'll tell you, that's how exciting it was, just listening to every single event that took place.
Oh, I know. Let me tell you, we got some more exciting stuff coming up. Let's get up there to Montana, my brother, man. I haven't heard from him in so long. He's my brother from another mother up there in Montana. He's up there on the Blackfeet Reservation, Mr. Bruce Schelt. Hello, Bruce. You out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. Can you hear me? We
loud
can hear you.
Loud and clear, brother. Loud and clear. How you feeling? How's the family?
Good. Everybody's fine.
You know, I got to tell you, Bruce, it's, what's the weather like up there?
Oh, it's about the same as down there in Butte in the 20s.
Well, what are you guys having, warming, a global warming up there?
Yeah, I think so. There ain't no snow yet.
Really?
Yeah, it's all bloating in the brush.
Wow. Well, you know, that's a good thing because now maybe our hairy friends may be coming around and romping down in that area. You know, I get so many people that call me, Bruce, because of the movie. They saw you and the family and the way you talked. And as a matter of fact, just as of today, I had somebody say to me, you know, Tom, I've seen the movie about 6 times. They can't wait to see Bigfoot Lives, too. And yes, my man out there, Bill Green in Connecticut, in about 60 days, you'll be seeing Bigfoot Lives, too. And if you thought Bigfoot Lives 1 was exciting and incredible, wait till you see Bigfoot 2. The saga continues because it'll totally blow you away. It encompasses 14 different states in the Union, ladies and gentlemen, stuff that's never been talked about or seen before. And you'll see it there, and I think you're in it again this time because of the dinosaur. By the way, I'm going to let our listeners know out there, the dinosaur that we found that was transferred to us to sell was on the, or actually, was it on the reservation or outside the reservation, Bruce?
I think it was on the reservation.
Yeah. Now, those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's a dinosaur. It was a baby dinosaur, and more than 90% together. And you can go to www.cameron, C-A-M-E-R-O-N, thedinosaur.com, and see the whole story and hear it. And you'll see the video, and you'll see us on there, and you'll see the dinosaur. Quite an interesting story. But getting back to the people who call me, Bruce, and they've seen the movie, and they all say, you know, the sincerity from this man. And they said, how did you meet him? I says, you know what, we'll have Bruce on the show, and he'll tell you the story firsthand. So would you be kind enough to do that for me and tell our listeners out there how we got together and how we've endured after all these years?
All right. It was the first of the year in 2006, and we were out on the lake, and my kids were playing, and they found these tracks frozen in the mud. And so it was getting dark, so came back next morning and took the pictures of the tracks and the mud, and I called the fish and game guys, and they came out and checked it out, and they couldn't figure out what it was. Well, they knew what it was, but they didn't say what it was. They just said it wasn't a bear. And then the newspaper got a hold of it and put a little story in the newspaper, and that's just where it went from there, and you got a hold of it and gave me a call, and we came up and checked it out, and we did find a fresh print right over the top of the old ones. And, you know, since then we've been hunting night and day for that Bigfoot, but we haven't saw him yet. But I've seen some signs, you know, of these pine trees where they're the bottom limbs are twisted off. They're not busted off. They're just twisted, and they're still kind of hanging there. And I found about 4 or 5 of those pine trees just like that. Maybe 1 or 2 branches would be twisted on it. And that's kind of strange because it's only maybe 200-300 yards from the house over the little hill there that I found the first one. And since then, there's been guys telling me stories about their encounters with Bigfoot. Right up from Hiram, up the Cutbank Creek there was a family that was having a picnic along the creek there, and they had to gather their stuff up and get out of there because there was a Bigfoot right across the creek, I guess, screaming at them, and they gathered it up and took off out of there. But I just heard this story yesterday, and this guy that was supposed to have this Bigfoot This is just down the creek from, same creek, just down from Hiram's. Down by Star School, a little school down there. And he said that Bigfoot is still there. That I asked him if he had a encounter with a Bigfoot a while back, and he said, yeah. And I said, well, you know, would you tell me about it? And he said, well, he said, it's still there. It's still there. He comes through there all the time, and I guess he fed him, and he supposedly has a baggie full of Bigfoot hair. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to try and get a look at it, try to get a sample. You'll get
you know,
it.
Bruce, the guy that did the cable stuff up there, what was his name?
Oh, yeah, that was Tony Beaudry.
Yeah, he
took a picture of one up there on Divide just this fall. I think it was around Halloween or sometime around there. He was coming back from the lake down there, and he was coming over the mountain, and he seen a Bigfoot alongside the road, and so he stopped. He had a boat in the back of his car, and there's a Bigfoot standing there watching him. And so they took some pictures with a digital camera, and I guess he's got the picture on his computer. He invited me to look at it, but I can never find him or catch him because he works. I think he's got a job down in Cutbank or something. I've been trying to get a look at that, but he won't give no pictures out. And I was talking to Gary Monroe, and he said that he was talking to him, and he was threatening to destroy it. So, I mean, I don't think he wants to get in the Bigfoot loop or whatever, you know. I don't know why.
Well, you can understand why. They don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be sassed and harassed and everything else that goes along with it. And that's okay. But, you know, I remember his lovely wife and his mother-in-law. They treated us so well. They gave Bob and I blankets, tokens of their esteem, of welcoming us into their home. I'll never forget that. Those blankets are going to go in the museum. But at the same point in time, when you see him or if you call him, tell him that we're going to... There's so many places that we've got to go out. We haven't been out in a long time. I'm going to mount probably one of the largest expeditions that we've ever had in all these years, and we're going to head out next month. And you're on the list, Bruce, and believe me, you don't know how much we miss you guys. Little Running Bear, Little Bear, and Tony, and of course your lovely bride and your father-in-law. You've always made us so welcome each and every time we've been out there. And of course you're like my brother, as I say, from another mother. You're our family, our extended family up there. I'm going to be calling you later on tonight. There's some things I want to talk to you about, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us tonight. Kiss the kids, also the wife. You got any more dogs? Last time I knew you had about 9 of them, for crying out loud.
We're down to 6 now. They all croaked. I don't know if they caught something.
I like your analogy. They all croaked. You're too much. Be careful. Peter will come after you. All right. God bless you, man. You're the best.
All right, Tom. We'll see you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my brother Bruce up there in Montana. Unbelievable, the Blackfeet. True story. I mean, it's a family away from home. Geez, I'm running a little behind. Marco, we got to go do a commercial. We'll be right back.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who were these kids? Cop and Bob Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams.
Oh my God.
breaking day, we hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sunlight.
And everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody trying to manufacture
this. The hands
and then jump into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Back to you, Tom. Yeah, thank you so much. Again, our movie, Bigfoot Lives. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen it, get it. Believe me, you will be blown away. You know, I got to tell you a story. I'm just noticing if Rich's 567 is the Rich that I think who it is. I think it's my other brother from another mother, and he's the real brother of Jabba Bob. Richie, if that's you, little toot for you, my man. Hell of a guy. You ever rolling through Barstow, ladies and gentlemen, Mojave Desert, give Richie a call. He's always there for a friendly chat, a bottle of beer, and a room if you need it. Thank you, if that is you, Richie. How are you? And welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going up to Washington right now. Unbelievable story. I've been in contact. You hear me talk about the Butello clan all the time, each and every week. There's a reason for it. This gal has made an indentation in my life, and I'll tell you the reason why. She's become one of our true people in our Bigfoot family, and she has kind of dedicated herself more than one way. And because of her line of work, she gets to meet a lot of people. And through her line of work, she talks, because of the rural areas where she travels, she puts the word out about Bigfoot and what have you. Next thing you know, boom, these people are telling her stories. So she got on the line with me last week, and she told me what happened, and she couldn't get back to the area, didn't have the phone number. I don't remember how the story exactly went. But she remembered the locale, and she went and drove up there. During this time that she went up and drove up, she left. They weren't home. She left a note in their mailbox or at the door. She's going to tell you the story. But as she was backing out, leaving the road, she saw a creature, and it blew her away. She's here tonight with us, and she wants to share the story with me and all you people. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Rebecca Butello in Washington. Good evening, dear.
You're on, Rebecca. Well, you're on now, Rebecca.
Are you there?
You're there.
We are. I'm thinking to myself, what? I give her a hell of a build-up, and she's not even there.
I'm here. How you doing?
Well, doing well, thank you. And my listeners out there are waiting with bated breath, and they can't wait. Cannot wait for you to tell the story. You got the floor, darling. Go for it. Tell them everything from the beginning to the end.
Okay, you're on. This is the most amazing story because I had shared with your audience back that I had seen two creatures back in 1970, and that's the last time I had had an encounter. Well, I had had a conversation last week with an older couple. And I have my little ways of bringing up stuff when I'm out in a rural area with somebody. And I kind of lead into it like, well, you're out in Bigfoot country. And then I sit back and I kind of, you know, it's a lead in. And they start talking to me. And every time they start talking to me, and they started explaining, yeah, they're, you know, that's really weird you brought that up. Because we keep hearing these strange screams around our house at night. And now my grandson told me he doesn't want to come around anymore because he saw something out there and he's afraid to come around. He won't come around anymore. And so I said, well, tell me more. And they said, well, we don't know. There's something around our house that keeps coming around our house at night. And I said, well, so tell me about your area. You know, what you got out there? You've got any streams or creeks? Oh, yeah, we got streams out here. We've got lots of deer. We've got lots of wildlife. And so I said, you know what a Bigfoot is. And the woman says, yeah, I believe in them. I think that maybe that's what's around the house. But the man's mouth was just open. He said, you mean these things are real? And I started chuckling a little bit. I couldn't help it. And I said, I started explaining who Tom Biscardi was and the crew and how you guys go on investigations all over the United States and of my encounters. And I shared some other stories. And the man was just blown away. He said, I thought they were just a joke or a myth. And I said, no. So then he got really concerned. And he was like, you mean maybe something like that's around here? So I said, well, I can't tell you for sure, but it sounds like something is. Well, I left their home, and I decided this last Monday to recontact them, because the whole thing was just of interest, and I thought if I could get them to share their story, that it would be of interest to the audience. So I took it upon myself to actually drive out into that area. Now, this area is heavily wooded. It is not too far away from Mount Rainier. For whoever of the listeners live up here in Washington and know where Eatonville is, they would know where that is, and it's a pretty rural, heavily wooded area. So I went out there, and I tried to contact them, but nobody was answering the door, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I just started kind of walking around. I was looking over fences, and I was looking in back of their house, and I thought, yeah, you know what? This looks like some place that you could see a creature like this. And I sit around for about 15 or 20 minutes trying to decide what I was going to do, and decided I would leave a note. And so I left my name, everything, put it in their mailbox, and decided that I would just hope that they would try to contact me somehow. As I was pulling out, everybody knows that, or most of any driver knows that when you pull out of a driveway, you're going to check your rearview mirror. It's just natural. It's just something that you do. So I checked my rearview mirror. I think I had been just two driveways down, and I'm going to guesstimate that somewhere approximately 75 to 100 feet. And I could not believe my eyes. In my rearview mirror, I saw a creature on the opposite side of that house step up onto the shoulder of the road. And I was putting on my brakes, and I can just see, I mean, I just started shaking because I thought, what? I could hardly believe my eyes. And this thing took two steps. I mean, literally one step, it's in the middle of the road. All of a sudden, it's dawning on me in a split second moment. This isn't a man. I'm actually having an encounter. And it's like my mind went numb. I started shaking, and I put on the brake, and I'm just sitting there in the middle of the road with my mouth open, looking in my rearview mirror as this thing takes one more step, not in a hurry at all, and it's on the other side. So from one shoulder of that highway or road to the other side, it took two steps, and it was on the other side. Now it is approximately, I would say, maybe 25 feet from the driveway I had just pulled out of. So I'm still sitting in the middle of the road, and I could hardly believe my eyes. And it looked like it turned, and it started walking toward me down the shoulder. Well, in a matter of, I'm going to try to say 3 to 5 seconds, I saw headlights. So I'm still sitting in the middle of the road, and I'm waiting. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit here and see what happens when this car comes to validate myself that, yes, I'm seeing something crazy here. And this SUV, it was an SUV, and just an average-size SUV. And I'd say, I don't know, you guys, do you guys know how tall one of those things are? I'm thinking an average SUV is what, 5.5, 6 feet at the top?
At least, yeah.
Okay. So I'm sitting here, and I'm watching, because I'm looking for a reference point. I mean, I'm looking for a reference point for a size, and my mind is in... I'm excited, okay? I'm very excited, and I'm shaken. It gets up to this creature, and I'm sitting here watching this whole thing, and all of a sudden it swerves like the driver saw it all of a sudden. Next thing I know, he's swerving out into the opposite side of the road, and he nails that car, and I thought he was going to hit me. All of a sudden I realized I'm in trouble. I mean, I'm in danger. He might hit me, and there was a driveway right next to me, so I pull into that driveway. And he just goes ripping past me. I don't know how fast he was going, but he was going, this was probably a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and I'm thinking he was going 50, somewhere around that. So I wasn't looking at him. I wasn't trying to, I didn't care. I still was looking behind me. And this thing, when this SUV went by, it just kind of turned. It kind of swung its torso to the side to look at it, and it's still on the side of the road. It didn't even seem to be bothered by the fact that this thing went, this vehicle had gone past it. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So I'm trying to get my car in reverse. This car's gone. And I'm like, I got to go back. I have to. So I locked my doors, and I'm trying to get my car in reverse, and I'm spinning back. And as I'm coming backward to face, to go back toward it, it just steps down into the ditch. And by the time, it must have only been 3 seconds. And it was gone. And I drove past there, and I sit there in the middle of the road, and I'm looking. I'm trying to find this thing. But there was woods right there, so I'm thinking maybe it was crouched down. Maybe it knew. I went on down the road, turned around again, came back, and sit there again. And I was trying to see this thing, and I don't know where it went. It just disappeared, and it was gone. But that thing stood well over that SUV. When that SUV went by, it looked like it was about 3 feet higher than the top of that SUV, and it was solid black from head to toe.
Wow. And I've got to tell you something. You are one brave gal, okay? Now, I don't know if it was complete stupidity, and don't take that in the wrong way, or just excitement, or just because we've talked an awful lot, and I've been telling you about these creatures. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, when this woman saw this thing, she called me immediately, right from the site, okay? And I got to tell you, she saw something, and that's the area up in that area where these creatures habitate and migrate through. And I want to
Tom, Rebecca didn't tell you about her camera. Tell her about the camera, Rebecca.
Well, I had a camera. I just bought a brand new digital camera, and it was in my purse. I had gone into such shock over what I was seeing that it didn't even enter my mind that I and this camera does video. And I was so mad at myself later because I was like, what was the matter with me? Why couldn't I have thought of that? Why couldn't I have done this? Why couldn't I have done that? You know, but, you know, to kind of answer your question, Tom, what you were saying before, and don't laugh at me because this is just true, that I had been asking God for 3 months now because I thought, you know what, I think I'm ready to see one of these things again. Everybody else is having encounters, and the first encounter terrified me, and it took me many, many, many years to get over that. I was just terrified, scared out of my mind. I didn't want to go camping. Didn't want to go in the woods, didn't want to go anywhere near it. And I decided, you know what, I want to do this. So I started saying, God, can you just let me see one? And this was 3 months ago. And I said, now, I don't want it to be close enough where it's going to scare me, but I just, you know, and this is kind of how I was going about it. And finally I thought, oh, forget it. I'm not going to see one. So I go out there to contact some people.
And then, bam, there it was. Bam, bam, there it was. You know what? You're not crazy, nor am I crazy, or Java Bob or any of my crew crazy. Because let me tell you a story real quick, because I got to move on to the next guest. Each and every one of our guys, that when we travel these lonely roads on expedition in the wee hours in the morning, we see nothing but these big lights, and it's just us coming down these lonely roads, and we keep saying to ourselves, God, make one of these things cross over these rural roads. How many times have you said that, Java Bob? How many times have I said it? How many times have all the guys who've been on expedition with us have said that? We've always said it just like you. You're not crazy, honey. You're a sweetheart, and thank you for sharing your story. God love you. I got to move on. We're running late. God bless you, and say hello to the family, okay?
All right. You got it. Thank you.
Bye-bye, honey.
Bye-bye, honey.
A little toot for Rebecca Ribello and the clan up there. One swell gal. I really got into the time here. Let's get out there to Arizona. We got Alex Ahern. Boy, does he got some stuff to tell us. Alex, you out there?
I sure am, Tom. How you doing?
I'm stoked, man. All this stuff going on, you hear it. You've been listening. You know what's going on. I mean, it's this is the world of Bigfoot, man. I can't say it any better. You know, the that picture that we got from AP, oh, my God, it's a new revelation. We're going to be sharing it with the world here pretty soon. I didn't know what happened, but Java Bob didn't get it up tonight, but I'm sure he'll have it up by tomorrow. Tell us the story. What's going on?
Can I steal your line? It's off the hook.
Listen, man, tell us the story. You got the floor till closing. Go.
Well, we got AP's encounter. We got Mitch with a great, great report of a new area. We're really hopping in Arizona, actually. And then we got all our other little reports, too. But AP's encounter is really amazing. He was up in the Arizona Mogollon Rim area, just below the rim in the creek. And
just don't tell any areas, please. Just don't tell any areas. Just say Mogollon area, that's all.
He's in a creek up by the Mogollon Rim below it, and he's walking down all by himself on a day hike, day recon. He does these. He's been out about 10 times already this year, and his team was out again yesterday, his buddies. He's walking down this creek. He gets, you know, ways away from his truck. I really don't know, you know, but a long way, mile, half a mile, you know, he's off. And, you know, people don't realize in Arizona, you can drive half a day and you're in an area where nobody goes. So that's basically what he's doing. He's up there. He's in an area where, you know, during the week especially, you don't have any weekend warriors out there. So he's all by his lonesome. And, you know, he carries a cannon with him usually. And this day he's just hiking around. He left it in the truck. So he's walking down the creek and he got the whiff of an odor. And he smelt it before, so he knew kind of what he was smelling. I mean, that's why he's in this area. He continued walking a little bit, and the smell kind of went away. So he stuck his fingers in the creek, raised them up, and he realized the wind was coming in his face. So he knew whatever he smelt was coming from in front of him, and he'd already walked by it. So he turned around, and he looked kind of behind him and across this little creek, and there was a sheer rock wall on the opposite side of this creek and some bushes growing out of the, you know, the edge of the riverbank there. And he couldn't exactly believe what he was seeing, but staring right at him, about 8 feet tall, was the face of a creature, shoulders, face, and it was just staring right at him. And he said he felt it telling him, "How can you see me?" And he just sat there and stared at it for about 3 minutes. He was afraid to move, but he couldn't really look it right in the eye, so he kind of looked down a little bit. You know, after a few minutes, he knew he didn't want it to charge him, so he didn't want to stare it in the eye anymore. And but, you know, now all he wanted to do was go home, except for one thing. He had to walk by it to get home. So he finally got up enough nerve to move, and I know exactly what he means. You do too. And he moseyed by it real slow, never turning his back on it. And he backed up. You know, I asked him how far, and he said 50 to 100 yards or so. And as soon as he felt safe enough, he turned and got out of there as quick as he could. So he'll tell you a little more about it, I'm sure, in the future. But what an amazing story. What an amazing story.
I've been talking to him off and on now for the last few days and saw the picture. It's totally incredible. One of my listeners out there get to see it. They're going to freak. This is the real deal. It hasn't been photoshopped. We've had it checked out with two of our guys. Leroy went through it with a fine-tooth comb. And AP will be on next week. He's agreed to come on and tell the story. Tell us the story of what's happening with Mitch.
Well, Mitch is... got in touch with the owners of the ranch that's nearest to the area that we had so much success in last year. And, of course, he's getting the inside scoop on stories from many years. And I don't have the total details of the stories. And, again, we don't want to give out any areas. But they told us of another area back beyond the ranch, you know, in the vicinity of where we've been, you know, but I mean, this, you're talking a 7 to 8 mile range, just where this ranch goes. And they told him of another area that we'll have to hike or horseback in. So it's pretty far. They said you might not want to hike in. You might probably want to do horseback. But they said it's a whole area where it just, this odor never leaves. And, you know, where animals have gone in, and they're talking cattle and sheep, and they lose them. They don't come back. And, you know, so none of the ranches in the area, and there's more than just this ranch in the area. They kind of circle it. They won't go into this area, so...
You know, there's a lot of that going on up there, not only there, but in New Mexico itself. I got to tell you, I just got through talking to the Apaches up in the White Mountains, and there's been sightings up there, and there's some pictures been taken also there, believe it or not. So it's incredible what's going on. It's the work that we're doing, people like yourself and all these other people, the fine people that we've associated with ourselves around this country. I got to tell you, it's just totally incredible. And I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for what you've done for us and been helping us through our short acquaintance. How long have we known each other now?
A little over a year.
Been a bit, little over a year. Well, it goes to show you how things happen just in a little over a year, doesn't it?
Not long enough, though, buddy. I wish I knew you a lot sooner.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to get to see us again. We'll be out there next month, and you know that you are on the list, especially with this new area happening. God bless you, man. I don't have any more time, but we'll be talking next week, and I'm sure we'll have you on the show again, okay?
Excellent, Tom. Love to be on, and I'd love to tell you more, and I can't wait to be on with AP and so he can tell you what's going
on. It'll be an exciting, exciting show. God bless you, my man.
You too. God bless you, brother, and we'll see you next month.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Alex Ahern up there in Arizona. He's become a true, true member of the SFBI family. Marco, I want to tell you, where does the time go? But nevertheless, all of you people out there who want to become area distributors for Cyber Sizzle, that magical pill that gives you a little bit more oomph in that gas tank, just give us a call, give us a holler, whatever it may take. Call us on the phone or email us. We'll be back to you, and there'll be a chance now for the commoner to get ahead once and for all and to make it happen to people like yourself and myself that we can get ahead the easy way. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Marco.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is sunlight.
And everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a
trimmed manufactured.
The hands are freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Nation.
stories, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.